Our next case for argument is 24-1537, DuraSystems v. Vanpacker. Mr. Summerfield, please proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. George Summerfield on behalf of the appellant Vanpacker. First of all, before we get into the merits, I'd like to say that after reconsideration, we believe that appellee is right, that the correct remedy on appeal, if there is error below, is remand and not reversal. This appeal comes down to a single issue, whether in the limitation thermal spacers thermally isolating, the adjective thermal, which modifies the noun spacers, has a meaning discrete from the adverb thermally, which modifies the verb isolating. Canons of claim construction dictate that it does, as no term should be rendered superfluous. However, the district court, in her construction, began with components that maintain a space. And then if we look at appendix page 23, the operative portion of that page says that while the thermal space...
Now, can I just ask you, while I 100% think that you're right most of the time, you shouldn't read a word as superfluous, it should have meaning. In this case, the reason that I'm struggling to agree with that general proposition is the prosecution history. Because it used to just say thermal spacers. And the examiner came along and rejected it, and he interpreted thermal spacers as being a generic spacer with no thermal property components to it. And I'm sure that the patent applicant probably scratched his head and said, well, it says thermal, but I guess the guy doesn't get it, so let's beat him over the head with thermal. Let's instead add in thermal spacers that, whatever, perform a thermal function, whatever the next part was. So why doesn't that sort of override your general principle with this very specific prosecution example? The general principle is words shouldn't be superfluous. But in this case, the patent examiner came in, and when they said thermal spacing, he treated thermal as not having any meaning, and he made them redundantly include the thermal property language in there. So given that, why doesn't it blow your argument up?
Because it actually supports it, Your Honor. The point is the spacers themselves have to have thermal properties that result in thermal isolation. It may very well be that the examiner was looking for belt and suspenders on this issue, but the end result is the same. If you have generic spacers that may result in thermal isolation, that doesn't satisfy the claim language. If you have thermal isolation that results from something other than the spacers themselves, for example, the size of the void, which is a separate claim limitation, or insulation that happens to be present in the gaps of the spacers, then the limitation isn't met.
Can I just ask what you mean by specific thermal properties? I take it, although you don't expressly say it in the brief, that you mean that it has to be made out of a certain material? Is that your argument?
That's one way, Your Honor, but whatever it is, the spacers themselves have to be responsible for the thermal isolation, not other things that may be present.
Why? We have lots of functional claiming. Some people don't like it. If you call it a thermal spacer because it functions to perform that task, even if it's a generic spacer, if it's the way it's placed, if it's the way it looks, the way it's shaped, and that performs the goal of why isn't that sufficient?
But this isn't functional claiming here, Your Honor. The instrumentality that is responsible for the thermal isolation is specified in the claims. It can't be anything. It can't be that there happens to be thermal isolation, so the term thermal spacer is somehow met. And that's the unfortunate result of the district court's decision. She basically said the spacers themselves don't have to have any thermal properties at all.
I don't think I understand.
Oh, no, go for it.
You're going to say I don't think I understand what you mean by has to be responsible themselves for thermal isolation. That doesn't make sense to me as a matter of science. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, Your Honor,
you mean they can't conduct? They should limit conducting of heat?
Well, if we look at what the actual spacer is, it's this device here. It's made out of metal. And as their expert admitted below, metal conducts heat. Put a tea kettle on the stove, it gets hot,
you're trying to read out the holes. You're trying to suggest the holes in that device are not part of the spacer, but they are.
No, Your
Honor. They're part of the spacer.
Actually not. What we're saying is that if we actually look at page...
By the way, I love that you brought in the spacer.
Thank you, Your Honor. If we look at page 2241, we see how this is actually deployed. And it's not the holes that are, it's not deployed with these holes empty. It's deployed with insulation material in the holes. And the reason you need the insulation material is because this spacer itself has no thermal capabilities. It's a heat conductor and a very effective one. So the insulation material in this circumstance is the thing that basically insulates the components that are supposed to be thermally isolated from one another according to the claim language. Now, they could have drafted the claim to say the spacer plus insulation results in thermal isolation. They didn't say that. They made it very clear that it is the spacer itself and only the spacer that results in the thermal isolation. They also specified that the separator, the spacer, has to be thermal.
But in, and I think this is the argument they make that refers back to your application, which is arguably the embodiment is the accused product, that the spacer is designed with perforations that create vertical metal strips between the perforations. And the medical strips act as a heat sink by reducing the amount of heat transferred between the inner lines.
Yes, so. Your Honor. If we look at page 2167 of the appendix, where that discussion is found, it's actually from their summary judgment pleading. What they do is they cite a couple paragraphs from our application, so it's not intrinsic evidence. And it talks about these perforations. And if we look at what is actually shown there, it looks nothing like this in the first instance. But secondly, it's a little unclear as to what this is saying because it talks about two things. It talks about perforations 130, and then it talks about metal strips 132. But the operative language, which abridges 2167 and 2168, says the metal strips 130. So apparently there's a mistake there because the metal strips aren't 130 in the earlier paragraph, they're 132. So we really don't know what's being talked about here, but in any event, this is a claim construction issue.
Well, now, this doesn't feel like a claim construction issue. This feels like you pivoted to a non-infringement issue, not a claim construction issue.
The only reason, Your Honor, is because they brought up our application, a clearly extrinsic piece of evidence that doesn't pertain to the patent in suit. That's the only reason we're even talking about it, because they seem to think that our own published patent application makes a difference as to the scope of the claims in their
patent. I'm confused. You have just admitted, right, that those holes are part of the thermal spacer, did you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
So if the holes are part of the thermal spacer, then isn't your argument the one of non-infringement, not claim construction, because your argument is what is actually performing the isolating function is insulation that is inserted in those holes, not the holes themselves.
No,
Doesn't that go to infringement, not claim construction?
It is claim construction because under the district court's construction, it doesn't matter what's performing the isolation. It doesn't matter. It could be other claim limitations. All she says is that there has to be a separation resulting in thermal isolation. She says the spacers themselves need not have any thermal capabilities whatsoever, and that's at page 23 of the appendix. So under her construction, any old spacer would be sufficient as long as the end result, no matter how you get there, is thermal isolation. That is not what the claim says, Your Honor. And nowhere in the specification, anywhere in the appellee's patent,
well,
does it use...
Well, her claim construction is, quote, components that maintain a space between the inner liner and the outer casing that limit the amount of heat conducted, dot, dot, dot. But so, I mean, so she seems to be identifying things, components, not any old whatever if it happens, but components.
Sure, but that's exactly right, Judge. You couldn't select a more generic term than components. And again, the components could be the spacer with the insulation, with a sufficient gap in the void, all of the things that might contribute to thermal isolation, well beyond the spacer itself. So basically the term thermal spacer becomes irrelevant to this invention. And very clearly from the prosecution history, whether the examiner articulated correctly what the syntax in the claims was or wasn't, the applicant made it very clear that the spacers themselves had to have thermal characteristics. And rather than contradicting our argument, the fact that they went ahead and said thermal spacers thermally isolating, they wanted to make it absolutely clear that the spacers we're talking about in this situation have to have thermal characteristics themselves. And they said as much during the prosecution history.
Do you... I don't know if it's that, you said very clear. I don't know if it's that clear. It seemed to me to be ambiguous as to whether the discussion was talking about the spacer itself or the fact that the arrangement of the spacer in the overall apparatus creating a gap which created the property of thermal isolation is what they were talking about.
Well, we can start at page 422 of the appendix, Your Honor. And this goes back to what Chief Judge Moore asked me about a few minutes ago. If we look at paragraph 7, the middle of the paragraph, there's a sentence that starts, thus the spacers. The examiner says, thus the spacers are only there to keep duct components in a spaced relationship without requiring any specific thermal properties. So that's the office action rejection. Now if we go to page 438 of the appendix, we see the response. And if we look at the next to last paragraph, the last sentence, in particular, independent claim 1 has been amended to recite the one or more thermal spacers thermally isolating said inner duct liner from said outer casing. And then if we look at the next paragraph, second sentence, it says the term thermal in the context of the subject application means and refers to specific thermal properties, namely thermally isolating. So the spacer itself has to have this thermally isolating capability about it, not all the other bells and whistles that might be included when the spacer is deployed. And the problem we have is the judge didn't even need to get into that inquiry below because she made it clear that
okay,
she didn't...
I just got to try and figure it out. So some of what you're arguing now seems different than I understood it in your brief. And I'm not saying it's a bad argument. I'm just trying to, in my mind, separate buckets, claim construction and infringement. Where in your brief did you make the argument that her claim construction below sweeps in the insulation as part of the thermally isolating spacer in order to... Because that's what I understand. What I understand you saying now is the only thing that does the thermal isolation now is the insulation.
Well, if I said that, Your Honor, I didn't mean to. What I said was we don't know what's doing the isolation. The one thing we do know is it didn't matter for purposes of her claim construction. All she cared about was that thermal isolation resulted. And it doesn't much matter how, because she said that the spacers themselves did not have to have any thermal properties.
But going back to what the chief was pointing to, the court's claim construction of thermal spacers thermally isolating, that it says components that maintain a space between the inner duct light, what is that talking about that limit the amount of heat? They're talking about the spacers, right?
Yes.
What the spacers have to do.
Yes, but the problem is, even in that circumstance, if you have sufficient space, there's going to be thermal isolation without any regard to whether the spacers themselves have any thermal characteristics. We can have two things...
But that's the question. I mean, that's the issue. You're asking us to say that the spacers themselves have to have thermal characteristics. And the question is that true? Or can spacing and other things done the way the spacer is used... or the way it operates within the apparatus, if it satisfies the function of thermally isolating, is that sufficient to make it a
but then why have the term thermal in there at all, Your Honor? Because anything given sufficient space is capable of thermal isolation. So if that's true, then why modify the term spacer with thermal?
So you're saying the word that's superfluous is space. Thermal spacer.
Thermal modifying spacer.
They could have said a spacer that does thermal isolation.
Correct, Judge.
And that would have satisfied.
That's right, Judge. As a matter of fact, it's pretty clear from the way she decided the case below that all you have to have at the end of the day is thermal isolation and a spacer. Assuming you have those two things, that's all you need.
Well, yeah. So just to reiterate, the question is whether thermal spacer means a spacer that performs some thermal function, or whether it has to have its own conductivity or something. There has to be something unique to the spacer.
Something about the spacer that in and of itself makes it capable of thermally isolating componentry. If it isn't able to do that, if it needs help, then it's not a thermal spacer.
What do you mean by needs help?
Something else has to be responsible for the thermal isolation. Perhaps in this circumstance, the insulation, perhaps the distance, any myriad number of things that might result in the prevention of the transfer of heat.
So if it's not holes and it's not it all seems to me to collapse into an argument that it has to be made out of something specific, but you're saying that's not your argument. I'm just trying to think of an example of what it could be besides material.
Asbestos. It could be pure insulation material.
Right, but that's an argument that it has to be a certain material. You're saying that's not what it means, though.
Perhaps, Judge, but again, that sounds like a part two of infringement test issue. The question, though, is the point is she never got there because she didn't have to. All she had to find was there's a spacer, there's thermal isolation, that's it. Whether the spacer...
But can't the shape of the spacer result in it just thermally isolating?
It could, and that would be...
And you agree that's a thermal spacer?
If the shape is somehow connotes or results in thermal characteristics for the spacer itself, which will be a fine argument when the case goes back down. Because maybe that is their argument, that maybe it's the shape of this thing that makes it a thermal spacer, but the judge didn't get there because she didn't have to.
Okay, so I'm going to try one last time because we're out of time, but I want to try and understand. The only place that I find this argument of yours about the... So first off, many places you say the void can't be part of the spacer, or at least that's what I understood your argument to be.
Right.
I don't understand that. I thought we agreed the holes can be part of the spacer.
The void is the space between componentry, according to the claim. So there may be a void that's sufficiently big between the components so that there won't be heat transfer. But that's a separate claim limitation.
Oh, okay. Well, then where is the insulation? Is the insulation in the holes, or is the insulation in the void, or is the insulation in both?
If you look at, so the best illustration of that, you'll probably
find... Page 16 of your brief.
2166, I think that's what we cite.
Page 16 of the blue brief is what I was looking at. What do you want me to look at?
Appendix 2166, Your Honor. So this is from...
That's the same thing as page 16
okay.
of the...
Sorry, Your Honor. This is from Apelli's pleadings, and actually this is from their expert's report. And here we have highlighted in green what he characterizes as a spacer, and we see how the insulation material is deployed. But again, the insulation material is a separate claim limitation, so... Just by virtue of the way the claim should be construed, the insulation wouldn't be part of the spacer.
But would this satisfy the claim limitation in your view? Is this a thermal spacer?
No, Your Honor, because there's no evidence that the spacer itself has thermal characteristics.
Again, we're back to characteristics, as Judge Hall put up. What characteristics are those?
Something that is capable of doing thermal insulation or isolation by itself. Something that will make sure that there is no heat transfer between the components that are supposed to be thermally isolated.
Well, if it's structured in such a way that there are holes, that can serve that purpose?
It can, but there's no evidence that this is such a thing because the judge didn't need to get there below. There wasn't that inquiry at all. There's nothing below that says because of the way these holes are configured, that the spacer by itself has thermal characteristics. That the judge didn't need to reach that because she said it doesn't matter.
I thought she didn't reach it because you stipulated to infringement.
No, there were cross motions for infringement, Your Honor.
Where you said a minute ago, and maybe I misunderstood you, that insulation is a separate claim limitation, so the insulation can't be part of the thermal spacer. I can't find it. Where is insulation a claim limitation in Claim 1?
Your Honor, bear with me for just a minute. If you look at Column 8 on Appendix 125, Line 54.
I'm sorry, can you give us that hand?
Sorry, Appendix 125.
You're just referring to the patent memo.
Yes, column 8.
Line what?
54.
But that's the void receiving insulation material.
Yes.
is. I thought you just said the holes are not the void.
Well, I mean, Your Honor, I guess the point is that there is here the concept of insulation being something separate from the structure that's taught or that's claimed.
Okay, let's hear from opposing counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. Chad Neidiger with my partner, Ryan Morris, from Workman Neidiger, representing the Appley DuraSystem Barrier Inc. May it please the court. A lot of confusion has been sown, and a lot of arguments have shifted from the briefs to this morning. And my hope is to be able to clarify the confusion that's been propagated here. First, we'll talk about the voids. In the briefing, the appellant argued that the perforations or the holes in the spacer are voids. And then it played a semantical game in the briefing where it said those voids can't be part of the spacer because they're separately claimed. But that's where we start with the first point of confusion.
Where did they call the holes voids in their briefing, since you said that? Where can I find that?
Ms. Morris, could you grab that quickly, please? I'll return to that in just a moment.
Okay.
But the void in the claim is the space all along the inner duct liner and all along the outer casing. So the void runs the length of the entire module of ductwork. That's the void in the claim language, and that's clear. And so when they talk about the insulation fills the void, that's the void. The insulation runs all along the entire length of the duct module, which is necessary to insulate the outer casing from the inner duct liner so that heat can't reach that barrier and cause a fire on one side or the other. If you have a fire on the inside of the duct, the heat can't get through the wall to start a fire on the outside of the duct. That's the purpose of this invention.
Well, can you just go to the court's claim construction on thermal spacers? What do those words mean? Components that maintain a space between the inner duct liner and outer casing that limit the amount of heat conducted through the components. Are they talking about the components of the spacer?
So that they do not create
fall points on the inner duct line. Describe this to me. What does this tell us about the spacer?
Yes. So the thermal spacer has to perform two functions. It has to perform the spacing function, and it has to perform the thermal function. And that's exactly...
And that thing he was holding up, you agree that's a thermal spacer?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And
so how does it perform the thermally isolating function?
So the way it performs a thermally isolating function is best described in their own patent application that describes how it does that. And this is in their own patent application where they explain the spacer 106 includes one or more perforations 130.
I need a page number.
Yep, absolutely. This is at appendix 2167 to 68, and it's citing to appendix 2324 at paragraphs 46
and 47. What page do you want me to go to?
Go to page 2324. Page 2324 at paragraphs 46 and 47.
Now, this is their application for their product.
This is their patent application.
Yeah, what does this have to do with anything?
This has to do with how infringement is shown, how the spacer that counsel held up satisfies the court's construction for summary judgment of infringement.
Okay.
This is evidence that their spacer performs the thermal function.
I'm looking at their spacer.
Yes.
So their spacer's right there.
Yes.
How does it perform a thermally isolating function?
Yep. And that's explained. I'll read it to you right here. So the perforations create metal strips 132 between the perforations.
What paragraph?
This is at paragraph 46.
Okay. Figure 4. Talking about figure 4.
All right, here we go.
I really don't understand how you think their patent application informs the construction to be given to a term in your patent.
We don't. That's additional confusion sown by opposing counsel.
No, you're sowing that confusion right now by trying to take me to their patent application as somehow evidence of how I should construe and understand your patent.
No, I'm sorry, Your Honor. We're having a miscommunication, apparently. I was responding to your question on how their spacer performs an isolating function. That's not a construction issue. That's an infringement issue because we're talking about their accused product. If you want me to talk about construction, I'm happy to do so. But I was responding to your question that asked how their product performs the isolating function.
Okay. Do you agree that the district court found the thermal spacer must thermally isolate?
Absolutely. The construction, it's...
Well, can you go back to my question about what these words mean and how they describe how the thermal spacer performs this function?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, Your Honor, the components are the physical structure of the spacer. The spacer has to have a structure, and that's what the court calls a component.
Okay.
And that component must perform the two functions we cited in the claim construction. It must maintain a space between the inner duct liner and the outer casing.
Okay,
so that's the first thing that the component must do. The second thing that the component must do, it must limit the transfer of heat between the inner duct liner and the outer casing through the component. That's the thermally isolating
and
function.
And it doesn't tell us how it does that, just
no.
as they must do
that. No, but see, that's where we get to actually what is the rub in this case. See, the appellant argues that it must do that one and only one way, and that is by having the thermal spacer, the component, made of a material with a low thermal conductivity property value.
So he says he's not arguing that, but your view is, which is my view, that is what he's arguing.
That's exactly what they're
arguing. What are the limitations you are arguing that make it a thermal space?
So we argue that it has to limit, just like the court's construction says, it has to limit the conduction of heat through the component. And that can be done any one of a number of ways.
Give us a few examples. Okay, how do you do that without having anything to do with the properties of the spacer?
Okay, the perfect example is the thermal spacer that was shown to you today. That thermal spacer is shaped in a special way. It's shaped in a way so that it limits the conductivity of heat from one side to the other. And it does that because the perforations, and this is what I was going to read to you from their patent application, because this is what their patent application explains. The perforations create these thin metal strips, and those thin metal strips act as a heat sink. Because those thin metal strips act as a heat sink, it thermally isolates. It prevents the conduction of heat from one side of the spacer to the other side of the spacer. Without those holes, you wouldn't have those heat sinks, and so the heat would be able to transfer from one side to the other, creating fail points during fire testing. And so that's one example. Another example would be to use a coil. So, for example, if the spacer, you could have a spacer with just a straight rod. Well, if you used a 1-inch copper rod as your spacer, that would not thermally isolate. The heat would be able to go through that copper rod and get to the other side and cause fail points. But if instead you took and you made that a coil, and so instead of having to traverse 2 inches of distance, the heat would have to travel all the way around that coil and travel essentially along 2 feet of the component.
Are there any embodiments in the specification for the patent in suit that describe what kinds of the things you're describing to us now about what might satisfy the limitation of a thermal spacer?
So the specification does not provide specific examples of how the thermal isolating must occur.
I want examples of what the thermal spacer is, whether it's, just so we know, it's a different shape, that it spacers that don't have just the conductivity.
Well, in the patent, there are numerous figures where the thermal spacer is identified.
Mm-hmm. What figure would you like us to look at?
Let's see. I don't have the 120. So, for example, looking at appendix page 116, figure 4. I'm sorry?
Figure 4? Is that
yes, that's figure 4. You see there are spacers on the corners. I believe they are labeled section 422. If you turn the page to figure 5, the thermal spacer is 420 is the proper number. If you look at figure 5B.
Well, wait, figure 420, or element 420, you're saying that's the thermal spacer?
Yes, element 420 is the thermal spacer.
Okay, well, in your description of figure 4, which is at column 6, line 54, can you go there with me?
One moment, please. You said column 6?
This is your description of column 4 in your patent. Column 6, line 54.
Yes.
According to another aspect, and as depicted in figure 4 and 5A, the thermal spacers 420 are recessed into the insulation material in order to maintain or provide a flat insulation face indicated by reference 422. So what does that mean? You've got the spacer recessed into insulation, which is 422. 422 is the insulation, right?
Yes. So the spacers can be recessed into the insulation, but the spacers still have to. What can happen, Your Honor, is when you mechanically attach two components, that mechanical attachment can become a thermal bridge for heat to transfer from one side to the other and get through the insulation. And that's why the thermal spacer must also be thermally isolated. So even if the thermal spacer 420 is recessed into the insulation, the thermal spacer itself still has to be thermally isolating so that it doesn't create a thermal bridge for heat to get from one side to the other.
So what, is there anything unique? This could be in figure 4 a generic spacer, and because of where it's positioned or how it's positioned, it performs the function of thermally insulating?
No, Your Honor.
So what is special about what is it about figure 4, the spacer in figure 4 that makes it thermally isolating?
Well, that's not expressly explained. The thermal function of that specific spacer in figure 4 is not expressly explained or addressed in the specification of the patent. But as found by the court and the expert testimony, a person of skill in the art understands that a thermal spacer performs a thermal function. And this was explained...
Okay, this is getting really confusing for me, and honestly, you're not helping yourself at all here. So Judge Prost's point question was exactly my question, which is, what about 420 lets us know it is performing a thermally isolating function apart from its location in the insulation as a heat sink, which would be true of any spacer, generic spacer. If it's only the location, then any generic spacer could suffice.
No, Your Honor, the location has nothing to do with it. The location, if you turn to the next page in figure 5B, you can see that the spacer is located at the very end. It's not embedded within the insulation. You see 420 in figure 5B. It's at the very end of the module, and it's not embedded in the insulation. The fact that it's embedded in insulation doesn't make a spacer perform a thermal function or not.
What makes it perform a thermal function?
And that's what I was talking about earlier. It can be the material that it's made out of. It can be made of a material with low thermal conductivity. It can be the shape of the material. And that's what is the case with the thermal spacer of the defendant's product. It's specifically shaped so that it creates a heat sink.
Do we find any support for that in the specification? Do they have any examples? Mention the words material, shape. I mean, this may be a written description problem, but anything in the specification that describes what the limits of what a thermal spacer is.
The specification does not go into detail to describe.
I don't care about detail. I want something. Give me two words. I don't need detail. Just, you know.
Well, we go back to the fact that it's a thermal spacer, and the fact that it is a thermal spacer means that it has to perform a thermal function. Then we go back to the claim language. The claim language defines the scope of the invention. And the claim language expressly recites thermally isolating the inner duct liner from the outer casing.
So if you took out the word spacer, the word thermal from spacer, and if the claim just read a spacer that performs the, I don't have the claim language, that performs the thermally isolating function, same. Is thermal doing any work? The thermal that modifies spacer, is it doing any work in the claim under your reading?
So, and this gets to Judge Moore's earlier comment.
You can't answer it yes or no?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. Because thermal spacer identifies a structure. And the fact that it's a thermal spacer, it means that that structure must perform at least two functions. And the applicant believed that those two words were sufficient to indicate that it performed both of those two functions. And this goes back to Judge Moore during the prosecution.
So it's a generic spacer performing a thermal isolating
function. It has to space, and it has to perform a thermal function.
Okay, but look at the claim language. If you take the word thermal out of space before spacer, and you just have the rest of the claim language, any difference? Wouldn't it mean exactly what you're saying?
Well,
if you say one or more spacers configured to maintain a duct liner, blah, 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 and one or more thermal spacers thermally isolating the inner duct.
I would agree that that would not change the scope of the claim. And the reason why is because during prosecution, as Judge Moore noted, the applicant had thermal spacer without the thermally isolating phrase. And the examiner said, well, that doesn't have to perform any thermal function at all. Any spacer will satisfy that language. And as Judge Moore said, the applicant probably scratched his head and said, well, that doesn't make any sense, because how is that a thermal spacer if it has no thermal functionality? So the applicant then explained why, in the context of the patent, thermal means and refers to, this is quoting from appendix page 438, means and refers to thermally isolated.
But purely functional. It's purely functional claim limitation, and it only has to do with the performance of a spacer that thermally isolates, right? That's no different than the claim language.
And
where in the specification does it tell us what the properties are of the spacer that performs the function of thermally isolating?
The specification does not describe how thermal isolation is achieved. A person of ordinary skill in the art would understand that, and so that's not.
They would understand what, how it's achieved, or that it doesn't tell us how it's achieved.
A person of ordinary skill in the art knows how to create a spacer that achieves thermal isolation. A person of skill in the art knows that it can be done a number of different ways, through the material property, through the shape, through a number of different ways.
Do you have testimony in the record to that?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. That's at appendix page 1833 to 1834. At appendix page 1833 to 1834, this is the expert witness, Mr. Creamy, and he goes and he explains that, and he uses the coil example that I was talking about earlier.
Okay, which paragraph? Paragraph 45?
So,
I think it's 44.
1833. Paragraphs 45 and 46. Okay, so in paragraph 46, for example, a Fosita would understand that he/she could affect the transfer of heat through the spacer by selecting a different materials having thermal conductivity values, as Mr. Cheek opines. The lower the thermal conductivity value of a material, the slower the heat moves or is conducted through the material. A Fosita would also understand that he could affect the transfer of heat through the spacer by altering the shape of the spacer. For example, heat would transfer through a spacer that has perforations more slowly than it would through a spacer made of the same material and with the same geometry, but without perforations. He goes on to provide another example. A Fosita would also understand that he could affect the transfer of heat through the spacer by increasing the length of the path, which the heat must travel along the spacer to reach the other side. For example, it would take heat longer to travel through a spacer in the shape of a coil than it would through a spacer made of the same material in the shape of a straight line. So a person with skill in the art understands that this thermally isolating function can be achieved a lot of different ways. And what the appellant is trying to do is they're trying to graft in a limitation. This is really a disclaimer case. They're arguing that the applicant in prosecution disclaimed all ways of thermal isolation other than a material property of low thermal conductivity.
Okay, counsel, we have your argument. Time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to restore 2 minutes of rebuttal time, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Let's start with paragraph 45 that opposing counsel is just referring to. All of these things indicate that the spacer cannot be generic. There has to be something done to it, or it has to be made out of a material that allows it to perform the thermal
functions.
Or
a certain shape.
Or a certain shape, that's right.
So, but my problem is, counsel, that your whole argument, I understood in your brief, to amount to the holes can't be part of the spacer. You say that on page 18. In short, the holes or voids defined by the accused spacers are not properly considered part of the spacers themselves. I understood your entire argument in this case to be one of claim construction. In fact, earlier, you disavow the idea that you're disputing the district court's finding of infringement, and you make it crystal clear that you're only on claim construction and you're only that the holes in our spacer cannot be considered part of the spacer. All of the arguments you've made today, which, by the way, I find somewhat persuasive but somewhat confusing, seem to be about whether your particular spacer, made out of metal, which has insulation that goes in between the spacer and the duct and in the holes, what is performing the thermally isolating, that's infringement. You disavowed that argument. If you lose today, that's why. It's because you made this case all about claim construction, and you repeatedly told us the holes in your spacer are not part of the spacer. And that's all I focused on, because that's what you told me is the only thing you're arguing on appeal. And then you came in this oral argument. I'm going to restore your 2 minutes because I'm using all of it. You came in this oral argument, and you went a completely different direction, and it really confused me. And maybe it's persuasive, maybe it's not, but it's not the way you briefed this case.
Your Honor, we made it very clear in our briefing that the judge's construction allowed generic spacers to be covered by the claims. It didn't even matter what was part of our spacer and what was not below. And I want to read this from, this is from their summary judgment pleading, Appendix 2171. They start off, and this is the very last sentence on page 2171. Defendants argue that the thermal spacers of the accused products do not satisfy the thermal spacers thermally isolating limitation because its thermal spacers increase the amount of heat transfer between the inner liner and the outer casing. They go on the next page. Defendants arrive at this conclusion by comparing the amount of heat transferred in the absence of the thermal spacers to the amount of heat transferred in the presence of the thermal spacers. Thus, the standard of thermal isolation the defendants apply to argue non-infringement is that thermal spacers must not allow more heat to be transferred between the inner duct liner and the outer casing than is transferred between those components absent the thermal spacers. This is legal error because defendants do not compare the thermal spacers of the accused products.
And am I right that everything you're reading from is the summary judgment of infringement and not the claim construction?
Yes, Your Honor, but what they're telling you is...
You didn't appeal it.
Your Honor, what they're saying is that they're allowed to make that argument because the claim construction issued by the district court, it didn't matter whether the spacer in question had thermal characteristics or not. They're basically acknowledging that. We're saying the judge was wrong in saying that below, that the thermal spacer has to have thermal characteristics. And if you can make the argument that the thermal spacer actually increases the transference of heat under her claim construction, that shows the claim construction is wrong.
Okay, thank you, counsel. We thank both counsel. The case is taken under submission.